This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a splendid weekend, and we're pleased you're starting your week listening to 89.3. And if you'd like to join our conversation, your number is 877-217-5757. You can send an email, if you so choose, to talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with University of Oklahoma journalism professor Jensen Moore. This is the eighth consecutive year she's been with us to discuss the Super Bowl commercial. She's been on the air with us since 2012, talking about the best and the worst. And, of course, Jensen not only is a professor at the University of Oklahoma, formerly with the Manship School at LSU, but she has vast experience in professional sports. She worked for the Grand Rapids Hoops professional basketball team as public relations director and media relations director, and worked full-time as the community relations director and advertising executive for the St. Paul Saints professional baseball team. And good morning to you in lovely Norman, Oklahoma, Jensen Moore. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing today?
Doing well. And before we get to the commercials, there was a game. It was not the most exciting Super Bowl. 13-3 the final. The Patriots winning for the sixth time in nine tries with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And they are quite a force to be reckoned with, no doubt about it. Is Brady the best ever, Jensen Moore?
Well, I mean, I think his six rings now kind of show that he is the GOAT. I mean, there's nobody to surpass that. And it was interesting that even though it was a very low-scoring game, that 10-point spread is still a Super Bowl record, the most points in a, you know, to win a Super Bowl. So
For the Patriots.
For the Patriots, yeah.
They've had a succession of one-possession games all the previous eight, but the ones they lost and the ones they won. But this is the biggest margin of victory or defeat for the Patriots in their nine tries and six championships, no doubt about it. They are the greatest team in professional football in this era. And Brady, I think, is fairly the best quarterback in the history of the game, despite some who would say Drew Brees is better. I don't know what you're smoking, but Tom Brady is obviously a better quarterback than Drew Brees, who's pretty great himself. But Jensen Moore, as far as the commercials, your thoughts about the winners and losers in these high-priced commercial spots that aired during the game?
Well, I mean, the big winner overall was the NFL. I mean, the 100-year game spot that they did was very well received. I think it would have been much better received by Saints fans, however, if Goodell had taken a hit during the ad.
They even brought Jim Brown back. Franco Harris, Terry Bradshaw, a lot of them were in it.
The audiences really liked seeing the mix of, you know, the new players with the old players, and it was cute and it was funny, and it got the best ratings according to the ad meter.
Well, this is one take from Justin Peters, who's a media critic. He says a Super Bowl is usually a terrible football game, not in 2017 and 2018. Those games were unusually great. This year, however, the Super Bowl reverted to form. It had a forgettable halftime show and largely forgettable ads to match. Were the commercials more entertaining than the game itself? Yes, but only by default, he says. The ads this year were largely risk-averse, save for a weird Burger King ad featuring Andy Warhol and a spot for the NFL itself featuring a very large cake. A notable number of ads featuring robots deployed gallows humor in the face of our automated future, a depressing theme for a depressing game. So these ads, as we know, cost several $1 million per airing. A lot of companies do all kinds of research before they go to the air, obviously. Do you think that most of them got their money's worth?
No, I really don't. I mean, the ones that I saw kind of fell flat. And actually, the pre-Super Bowl prediction was that we were going to have another year of kind of highly charged political ads like we had last year. Because, you know, of all of the kind of disquiet we have between Republicans and Democrats right now, that's what everybody was predicting this year's ads were going to be. And it was very surprising to see that the advertisers went the complete opposite direction of that prediction and kind of really played it safe in most cases with their ads. And that's, I think, why they fell flat, is everybody was just trying to be in that safe zone where they weren't going to make anybody upset, or they weren't, you know, they really weren't going to try to push the envelope on what they thought was humorous. I mean, there was one ad that pushed the humor envelope, and that one really kind of bombed, and that was the comparison of food and porn, and people did not like at all.
Yeah, I can understand. Now, a listener says she found Hyundai's ad witty. That was the one with Jason Bateman as an elevator operator. Did you see that one?
That was one of our exceptions where the humor went really well, and it was, like she said, it was witty. It really brought into focus the things that we hate. We hate going for a root canal. You know, we hate hate going someplace where we know we're going to eat food that we might not like. And we hate car shopping. It's just that whole idea of walking onto a car lot and having, you know, that used car salesman kind of vibe. And they did it. They turned it and they were like, oh, you're getting a Hyundai. Well, you're going up on the elevator then. And it was funny and it was cute. And Jason Bateman always brings that dry, witty humor to things. So it was fun to watch.
Well, a 30-second ad during the Super Bowl cost $5 million, according to Bloomberg. $5 million. Mm-hmm. And that's serious money. I would think there's some kind of massive attention devoted to these spots. And some of them, as you note, fall way short of the mark. How does that happen?
Well, again, I think it's just a case of them trying to play it safe. I think some of the companies got a lot of backlash last year for having those political ads, or even touching on issues that they thought were safe issues, like the environment and the climate. They got a lot of backlash for companies even taking part in those conversations. And so this year, a lot of the organizations just really tried to find a feel good. For example, the Microsoft We All Win, I think that was a success. It really played on the idea of children all being equal when they can play video games, children with disabilities. And so there were some that really, you know, did a great job of emotions, and some that just were purely a sales pitch.
Well, the Washington Post ad was chosen by NPR's Eric Deggers as the best ad of the game. And I'm reading that it cost $10 million to make, $10 million plus the five, I guess that includes the $5 million that it cost to run, 60-second spot, second one during the fourth quarter. And here's Tom Hanks extolling the virtues of a free press.
When we go off to war, when we exercise our rights, when we soar to our greatest heights, when we mourn and pray, when our neighbors are at risk, when our nation is threatened, there's someone to gather the facts, to bring you the story, no matter the cost. Because knowing empowers us. Knowing helps us decide. Knowing keeps us free.
Tom Hanks, powerful ad that paid tribute to missing and dead journalists, including the Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi, who was murdered in Saudi Arabia's consulate building in Turkey. A listener asked Jensen Moore, Professor Moore, about an ad that apparently was rejected by CBS, which would have had a pro-flag, anti-Colin Kaepernick, Just Stand theme. Did you hear anything about this?
I didn't hear anything about this ad. I did hear about the cannabis ads that were rejected by CBS, so.
They didn't want cannabis being promoted on CBS, I guess.
I guess. despite the fact that the majority of the players said that they would they would support pro-marijuana legislation.
There you go. 15 years since the wardrobe malfunction of Janet Jackson with Justin Timberlake. Nothing like that, but what did you think of the halftime show?
The halftime show was interesting, you know, and once again, we see nipples, just this time on, you know, Adam Levine. And so I guess male nipples are acceptable during a halftime show.
Obviously.
You know, and I like that he brought in, you know, Big Boy and Outkast, that kind of tribute to Atlanta rap and hip-hop scene. I think that the, you know, the SpongeBob SquarePants into sicko mode fell a little flat. A lot of
Okay, we do have to roll, but thank you, Jensen Moore. It is always a pleasure. Thanks for keeping the tradition going. We'll be back after this pause.